We've been dealing the last several weeks the importance of worship, and today we're going to bring it to a conclusion on why we are to worship. And I have this up here this morning, and this is going to stay here the whole entire time, because I want you to know the reason why we worship this morning is because He is worthy. That's going to be the focus this morning. And I hope that you're going to be able to get that this morning. And you might be in here this morning, you might say, Brother Chad, I don't know what it's like. I don't know what it means to worship because I don't have God in my life. Well, you can change that this morning. And we'll be happy to deal with you this morning. If you've never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, I beg that you do that today. Because there's nothing worse in life than to reject Jesus Christ. Because to reject Him means that He's going to reject you. And that's by your choice. And so I hope that's not you this morning. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms this morning. The book of Psalms, chapter number 33. And then I want you to find your place in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. And then I want you to find your place in the book of Revelation, chapter number 4. These will be the three passages that we will be going through this morning to help us create a picture of why we are to worship. And I hope that it'll be a blessing to you today. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I've had a very hard time trying to put this in note form. Because there's sometimes when you go through Scripture and you're trying to get an outline or you're trying to write it word for word, which is what I've been doing the last year, year and a half, is trying to write things word for word, and I do it for this reason. It helps me to stay focused. I love the outlines because I'm able to gather thoughts through that as we're going through that. But for some reason this morning, the last couple of weeks, I've been having a great difficult time of trying to put those things into an outline form or into a word-to-word form. And I believe it's for this reason. God saying, Chad, I don't want you to be dependent upon you. I want you to be dependent upon me. And so those times happen quite often when you're at the pulpit. And as that happens, it allows me to step back and focus on Him more than I usually do. And I believe He's doing it for this reason. He's wanting to show me how worthy He is. Amen? Because He is worthy. Let's begin reading in chapter number 33 of the book of Psalms. We're going to read verses 1 down through verse number 9 this morning to help us create a picture this morning. But before we do that, I'm going to have a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask as I pray outwardly that you would have a silent prayer to God. And ask God to deal in your heart this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful that we're able to be here this morning. I thank you so much for your word that you have given us. Lord, we believe that you preserved this for us. And so, God, I pray that as your word is being read this morning, I pray that it would challenge our hearts. I pray that it would turn our heart back to you if it has been turned away. Lord, I pray for the one that might not be here, that might be here this morning, that might not know you as Lord and Savior. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would begin to bring the conviction that it needs to bring so that child or individual could come to know you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, if that takes place today, let us rejoice with them. Let us be happy for the decision that they made. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. Verse number 1 of chapter 33 of the book of Psalms, it says this, Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. This is David calling us out here in this verse here. And there's a reason why that he is calling us out. Because you and I, because we're God's, we should be rejoicing in the Lord. Amen? In other words, we should be happy with Jesus. We should be happy with what He is doing in our life. We should be happy with the things that He's allowed to come our way, whether it be through good times or whether it be through bad times or difficult times. We should be rejoicing in the Lord. Why? Because so often we believe and we feel that we are going through these things alone, but as a child of God, we are not going through life alone. God is with us. And because He is with us, we have the ability to be rejoicing in Him. We have the ability to be happy in Him. We have the ability to be thankful for Him. Amen to that. So rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. It goes on in verse number 2. By the way, as it's talking about the word rejoicing, as it's talking about the word praise here, it's also talking about how we are to be worshiping God. Amen? So verse number 2, it says this, praise the Lord with harp. I don't know about you, but one of my favorite instruments, the first favorite instrument of mine is honestly is the piano. And the piano is my favorite for this reason, because I have the privilege to be able to listen to my wife play the piano. Whenever there's a piano there, she'll play it, and I just love listening to the tune that the piano has. The second favorite instrument that I enjoy listening to, and I think I got this, and you're going to laugh, but I think I got this through watching Little House on the Prairie. But I love the violin. I believe the violin, when it's played, is such a soothing instrument. The other instrument that I truly enjoy, and I don't hear it that often, but when I do, I stop and I just listen. I allow the songs to be able to minister to my heart, and that is through the harp. I love the sound of the harp. It takes great talent to play the harp. It takes great dedication to be able to learn those things. So it says, praise the Lord with harp. Praise Him with the instruments that He has allowed us to have. And then it goes on and says this, sing unto Him with a psaltery and instruments of 10 strings. Verse number 3, sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice. Why? For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. Verse number 5, it says this, He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Think about that statement that David just made here. It says, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Most of you, if you were not here this morning, would have heard the lesson that was given in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And it was talking about perilous times. Perilous means troubled. We're living in a troubled world. Why? Because there are troubled people. But even through those circumstances, regardless, it says this, the earth is full of what? The goodness of the Lord. You know why we don't see the goodness of the Lord at times? Because we are more focused upon ourselves. We're more focused upon man that's upon this earth instead of being focusing on God, who is worthy to have our focus. He's worthy of that. Go down to verse number 6. It says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. You and I could not create those things. You and I could not speak those things into existence, but our Heavenly Father was able to do those things. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. Think about the powerfulness that the Lord has. Verse number 7, it says, He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. Has anybody ever flown over the ocean? You've seen the vastness of the ocean. It's almost, you can't see land. All you see is water. The great scripture that it has here, it says, He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He's able to gather that up Himself. Verse number 7, towards the end, it says, He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Verse number 8 says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Why are we to stand in awe of the Lord? For this reason, because he is, say it with me, worthy. If we can get that into our skull today, our worship for him would be so much better. Because he is worthy. You know, we're not told to stand in awe of the great actors of this world. We're not called to do those things. But we do stand in awe of the actors who are able to come forth on stage and to deliver something that seems beyond them. And we look at their performance and we say, wow, what an amazing character that he just played. I had no idea that he or she can do those things. But we'll stand in awe of those people. We'll stand in awe of the great athletes who come our way. God has blessed them with a talent that we don't have. Some of us strive to have that talent, and it's a work in progress. But some, it's just a God-given talent. And they'll go out there, whether it be through football, basketball, baseball, golf, whatever, even NASCAR. Some people believe NASCAR is not a sport. But we stand in awe of what they can accomplish. We stand in awe of all the money, the finances that they're able to gain through that. We stand in awe of the great businessmen and great businesswomen who have such genius minds and they're able to create a business, to take something and to make it thrive and to have such financial gains and to become very popular and throughout this world. And we'll stand in awe that they do. Some men will and women will even be worshipped for the things that they accomplish. And we talk about them, we boast about them, we brag about them, and we stand in awe. And let's be honest, compared to God, they're not worthy to be praised or to be glorified. Why? Because they are not God. But as David, as he's talking here in chapter 33, he says, let all the earth fear the Lord. You know why many people, men and women, child, whoever it may be, you know why they might not stand in awe of him? Because you take a look around in our world today, there's no fear of the Lord. Why do you think we see men and women running around living an unholy, unrighteous, ungodly life? Because there's no fear of God in them. And so because they have no fear of God in their life, they're not going to stand wherever they're at and just be in awe of him. Someday soon, as we just described in the song that we just sang, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. One of these days, you and I, we're going to be able to claim that prize that God has promised to us by accepting him as Lord and Savior. We're not going to walk into heaven. We're not going to walk into that mansion that he gave us and just be in awe of everything that he's created in that room from the paint design all the way down to the architecture. We're not going to be standing in awe of those things. But as we get into the presence of God, because he changed our destination from hell to heaven, we're going to be standing in heaven looking at God and just being in awe of him. And as we stand in awe of him, we're going to be saying, we are not worthy. But we don't do that on earth because just like David said, there's people here on earth who don't have the fear of the Lord. And without the fear of the Lord, there's going to be many believers in life that will not stand in awe of him. If you go on a vacation somewhere and you're going to a destination that you've never been before, you look at all the artifacts that's around. You might look at the mountains that's there. You might look at some of the beautiful buildings that are around there and you've never seen those before, but you stand in awe. That type of an attitude is what we should have when we begin to think about just the name of Jesus. Why is that? Because there's something special about that name. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. There's just something special about that name. What a beautiful course that Gloria Gaither penned to paper years ago. A simple course, but it's a course that you and I ought to think about from time to time. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something special about that name. When we think of the name of Jesus, that ought to bring us to our knees and just say, I am not worthy to be serving a worthy God. That's what it means to be standing in awe of Him. Why is that? Verse number 9, because it says, for He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. There are some areas in our life that we are to stand in awe of God. Turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter number 1. Book of Genesis chapter number 1, we're going to see some reasons why that we need to be standing in awe of God. And I'm going to go back to creation because that's where it began. And I'm thankful for creation because without creation, I wouldn't be here today. Just thinking of the fact that God spoke everything into existence. He gave us man, He gave us woman. And now, because of that, years, thousands of years later, you and I are here today. We are a part of His creation. And because we are part of His creation, that ought to say, man, what a wonderful God we serve. Standing in awe of God. As we begin reading here in verse number 1, I'm going to read a lengthy portion here this morning. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Reason number 1 why we should stand in awe of God in Scripture, because God created this world. Amen. No other man could have done these things but Jesus Christ Himself. God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Think about this as creation is beginning to develop here. Think of this process that's going on, because God's describing the process here. It says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In verse number 3, it says this, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, that's no big deal. It is a big deal. Because the Word says, in verse number 2, it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The earth, the world at this time, had no light. Has anybody ever experienced darkness? I mean, complete darkness? There are some folks who have experienced complete darkness, and there are some places that you can experience those things, especially if you go and experience some cave dwellers. And I'm talking about, you can go to South Dakota, you can begin to experience the cave life, and there's no light that goes through there. Some people that don't have light begin to panic. But think about this. The earth was dark, completely dark. But our God said, you know what? This world needs to have some light, so I'm going to give it light. And out of nowhere, it says, and there was light. Today, we walk into a room that's completely black, and the first thing that we want to do is throw a light switch on so that we're not surrounded in darkness. The last few years, many of you folks don't know this, but this garage over here has no light. And Jeff does a lot of our snow removal around here, and Uncle Greg, and they come in here and late in the morning when it's completely black, they can't see in that place. We have our little flashlights on our phone. We're able to bring those things up to light very quickly, but that's still nothing compared to what we have here this morning. So the graciousness of our neighbor next door to us, Jeff asked her if we can plug an extension cord in their outlet on the outside so that we can run some lights into the garage so that we can have something there. You know what? That's an answer to prayer. And as she said yes, and she didn't want no money in return for that, I'm in awe. But as I stand in awe of that response from her, in reality, I should be standing in awe of God. Because God is the one who gave us light. Verse number 4 says, "And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Well, that doesn't sound like a big deal. Yes, it is. Because you look at the word here in verse number 4, it says, "And God did what? Divided." There is no division before, but God divided the light from the darkness. As the earth was totally dark, and then he gives us light, and now he divides it. That alone should allow us to stand in awe of his creation. Verse number 6, it says, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good." As God's creating this world for us, as we've gone through Scripture time and time again, as this particular passage has been preached to us time and time again, as we read it in our devotions time and time again, no matter how many times we go through it, when we go through this passage in God's Word, this ought to allow us to stand in awe of Him. Why? Because He is worthy. And as we stand in awe of Him, it brings us to a place of rejoicing. It brings us to a place of being happy. It brings us to a place of being thankful. Because He's worthy of those things. I feel sorry for believers who walk around and have no joy in their life. I feel sorry for believers who walk around and don't stand in awe of a mighty God. Why do I feel sorry for them? Because they fail to recognize that He is worthy. He is so worthy. But why do we not stand in awe of Him? Why do we not say that He is worthy? Because we put our focus upon ourselves. God did not create us to put our focus upon ourselves. God created us to put our focus upon Him. God created us for us to worship Him. God created us to glorify Him. God created us to praise Him. God created us to stand in awe of Him. So I believe that you're getting the idea here in Genesis chapter number 1, the importance of standing in awe of Him. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through the rest of this chapter because I know some people might get bored with this. And be honest with you, I'm not bored with this. I want to keep reading it. Why? Because I'm in awe of what He's done. I mean, you think about what man can do. It's nothing compared to what God can do. So we stand in awe of Him. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter number 4. Revelation, chapter number 4. I'm going to read this whole chapter here. Don't fret. It's not that long of a chapter. I don't want to scare anybody off. But even if it was 25 verses, even if it was 75 verses, do you not believe it's important to read them all? Because he is worthy. He is worthy. But we don't see that all the time. I want us to see how worthy God is. I want us to show you these last 5-6 weeks of why we worship. We've dealt with so many things. We worship him in songs. We worship him in coming to church. We worship him in prayer and so many other things that slip in my mind right now. And the reason why we do this, because we have come to a point why we worship, because he is worthy. Here is a beautiful picture that's created here in the book of Revelation, chapter number 4. And I'm really thinking about in the future, God's really been dealing upon my heart to go through the book of Revelation. I have not done that since I was the teen teacher here at the church. That's going back many years. And to be honest with you, I'm scared to go through it. But God will reveal to me what he wants me to do, and he'll give me the ability to understand it. And when he does that, I'm just going to look back and say, I stand in awe of you. Because he can take this slow mind of mine that has a learning disability, not be able to comprehend things quickly like many people are able to do those things. He's able to take that slow mind and he's able to allow his word to make sense to me. And I just stand in awe of him. Because I know my shortcomings. I know where I fall short. But let's continue on in verse number 1 of chapter number 4. It says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Okay, as this picture is being created here, again, continue to stand in awe of God because of what we're about to see here. It says, I will show these things which must be hereafter. Stand in awe of God because in verse number 2 it says, and immediately I was in the Spirit. By the way, when the doors of heaven are open and you're in heaven, guess who's there? Amen? So immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. A few months ago, this world lost a queen who has been in service for 70 years. What a life that she had. But I remember on many different occasions where she sat on her throne. She was able to rule her country from the throne. But her life had an end because she is not God. So her life came to an end. Many people that lived there and across the world were saddened by her loss because of what she meant to that country. And then after the loss of the queen, the next in line took over the throne there. And as they began to place him in charge, here are some words that were said to King Charles. It says, long live the king. I stand in awe of you today because I serve a king who has no end, who will live for eternity, whose throne is far greater than the throne of man. A throne that has allowed us to see the wickedness that we have in our life and not judge us, but give us forgiveness if we ask and seek, and he forgives. So as we continue reading on in verse number 3, it says, "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald." Let me stop there. Don't ever let the world steal the rainbow from us as believers. Amen. Because God gave us that rainbow. He even used it as a symbol for Noah when the flood was over. That rainbow is God-given. I say that for a reason. Because that community rejects God, but they have no idea what that rainbow stands for. Some people give me grief because I wear pink at times. Let me say this. God created that color. And because God created that color, I will say this. I'm proud to wear it. Amen. Because I know who it came from. And I know what it truly stands for. It says, "And there is a rainbow around about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto a crystal." I got to stop here because as I was reading this verse this week, this verse really kept sticking out to me for some reason. And it's for this reason. I can remember on many different occasions going to a lake or going to a pond. And if you're to look at the water in a different way or at the right way, you're able to see the reflection of everything that's around you. To me, I think it's pretty cool to be able to go to a lake or a pond or whatever and to be able to see the trees that are right in front of you. It's like a mirror at times. That's what it's describing here. It says, "And before the throne there was a sea like a glass, like glass, like unto crystal. And the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind." I'll never forget this. As I was going through this chapter years ago, this book years ago, I asked one of my students to create a picture of these 4 beasts. And she's not here with us today, but she will be here, and I'm going to ask her if she'll do this again. But Sarah Childers did this years ago. And the images that I was able to see were just phenomenal. And the reason why I stop here and talk about these 4 beasts just real quick, because there are times that when we're reading God's word, we have to use our mind and we have to envision these things so things will come to life more. So this past Friday night, I was on the computer and I was trying to find some more images that was being talked about here. And I tell you what, it's not too glamorous to be looking upon. It can be frightful, but as I sat there and I looked at some of those images, I'm just sitting there, wow. This is God who created these things. The jasper, the sardine, the sea of glass like unto crystal. Verse number 7, it says this. It says, "And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle." I'm getting ready to wind down here this morning. "And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night." Why? Because they had something on their mind. They had something. This was their purpose. And here it is. They were saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. They're recognizing the greatness of God. They're recognizing how great his name is. They're seeing all these things. Verse number 10, it says, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, let me stop here. Every crown, every reward that we receive here on earth for doing the will of God, we one day, when we get into heaven, those are rewards, those are crowns that God will give us for our accomplishments. But you know what we're going to do in return? We're going to say we're not worthy of these rewards, and we're going to cast them back to Jesus. Think about that picture that's being created here. And here is why we are going to do those things. Verse number 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Why did this take place? Because he is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of us glorifying him. He's worthy of our time. He's worthy of those things because he is a God who spoke us into existence. He gave us life. He is worthy because he gave his son to die on the cross for your sin and for my sin. He is worthy of our praise. Hallelujah to that. Say it with me, verse number 11. On the count of three, let's read this verse together. One, two, three. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Say it with me, church. He is worthy. That's why we worship God today, because God is worthy of us worshiping him. Someday soon, this world's going to pass. This world's not our home. We're strangers, we're passing through. Someday soon, we're going to claim our home in heaven, and we're going to worship God the way he truly designed us to worship him, because he's worthy of our worship. We fall so short on how to worship God in our life today. But I'm so thankful for his word that he has given us to show us, to empower us on how we can do this while we're here on earth. Why do we go around singing Christmas songs at this time of the year? Because he is worthy. Can I say something real quick? He's not just worthy one month out of the year, but he's worthy every single month that he's given us. There's nothing wrong with singing Christmas songs in July or August or September, because those songs give glory and worship to God. He is worthy. He is so worthy. And let me read this song to you. This song has spoken to me many times. I honestly thought about playing it for you, but some people have long versions, and it could last 5 to 10 minutes. But as I read these words, please allow them to speak to your heart. It's called Worthy the Lamb. Worthy the Lamb. Hear the cries of the shackled from the onset of time. For the chains of defeat, there's no key. See the tears of the broken, the cries of the slaves. Is there no one worthy to set us free? Then the crying is stilled as the chorus rings out. The shackled release from their chains, and thousands of voices are swelling a song, "Worthy the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy the Lamb that was slain." Then all the archangels, the saints of all time, holding their crowns in their hands, fall down before him, joining the song, "Worthy, worthy the Lamb. Worthy, worthy, worthy the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy the Lamb that was slain. Praise him, praise him, praise the Lamb that was slain." Why do we praise the Lamb that was slain? For this reason: he is worthy. He is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb of God. As the piano plays, the altar's open.